Well, this morning, I don't know if you know this or not, but we're in the presence of greatness. Jesus said that if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, you will be what? The servant of all. There's a couple of servants I want to recognize today. One, after some very, very serious brain surgery, just a few weeks later, I don't know that God has ever made a more precious soul than Nanette Israel, and she's back. So let's give Nanette a hand. I'm sure I'll hear about that one later, but we're glad to have you back, Nanette. The other, it's appropriate that we're talking about church camp, because, man, I loved church camp growing up. How many of you went to Wilderness growing up? Anybody? Yeah. And we'd have a lot of fun at Wilderness, and there was one person there. I was probably called in the ministry when I was in middle school, but I fought kicking and screaming until I was about 30-something or 40 before I actually went into the ministry. And one guy had probably the biggest influence on that growing up, and he was my church camp dean. And we just had a great time. And after school, I'd always go in the office, and we'd talk sports. And we just had a lot of fun times traveling and doing all kinds of stuff in the youth ministry. And I couldn't be more grateful for him. So I was pleasantly surprised. We walked in my office the other day, or he had messaged me that he was coming, and we got to sit down and muck it up for a little while. And so would you welcome Don Brown, my good friend. Make sure you say hi to Don before you take off today, if you haven't met Don or if you remember him from your youth group days, for sure. But it's good to see you, buddy. Yeah. Always good to have you. All right, so we're in Acts, the book of Acts, and we're going to be in it for a long time, right? And we're in Acts chapter 10 today, and we've titled the series Unleashed. And we've titled it Unleashed because when we look at the book of Acts, that's exactly what happens. We saw the unleashing of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit came on the people, and they're speaking in different languages, and the Holy Spirit started working through the apostles, the disciples, to spread the message of the gospel. We saw the unleashing of the disciples as they were all going to wait in the room for the Holy Spirit to come. And then when the Holy Spirit came, they started going out preaching the gospels in the streets of Jerusalem. We saw the Holy Spirit unleashed through Peter, and that he was able to heal the man as he was on his way to the temple to pray. We saw the unleashing of the deacons, if you will, the seven men that were chosen out of thousands to take care of the service of the church, and they were unleashed through the power of the Holy Spirit, and Stephen was stoned to death in the process as he was just speaking boldly the word of God. And so we see this theme throughout the book of Acts of all these things just being unleashed for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the gospel. Well, in Acts chapter 10, we're going to look at this passage today. We're going to cover the whole chapter today. And this, besides the chapters in the gospel about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, should mean the most for you and I today here at Kalkaska Church of Christ in 2022. This should be the most important chapter, again, other than Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, for obvious reasons. This is the chapter that we would point to and say, well, if that hadn't happened, would we be here? We would have to really process through that and figure out what would that have looked like. But we see this great unleashing of the gospel message, this great unleashing of God's plan, Jesus' plan, as he told his disciples that you're going to be my witnesses where? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, all the ends of the earth. And we're starting to see that, again, just take place, especially as it comes to Acts chapter 10. Now, Acts chapter 10, it starts out, the story is about two people in Acts chapter 10. One is Peter, that we'll get to later, about two-thirds or a third of the way down. But we start out with the story of this guy named Cornelius. And Cornelius is a centurion, which means what? He's a Roman soldier. He's a Roman soldier named Cornelius, a centurion, meaning that he's over 100 men. And so he is part of what the Israelites would call the problem. He's part of this group of people that would be oppressing the Israelites, the Jewish people, as opposed to allowing them to maybe worship freely and understand Jesus. They're part of the problem because they're oppressing the Israelite people all throughout when Jesus was born, up and through his ministry. And yet, here's this guy, Cornelius, who is at Caesarea, and he is a Roman soldier. And the Bible tells us in verse 2 of Acts chapter 10 that he is a couple of things. One, he's a devout man. He's a devout man who feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed continually to God. I want to read those again. He was a devout man who feared God. What does that mean? He was faithful. He knew who God is. Somehow the message got to Cornelius of who God is, and he was a devout follower of God. And not just him, but who else? His whole household. His whole household. I want to slow down for a second. If you're the leader of your household, whether you're a single parent or you're married, we have a responsibility to disciple not just ourselves, but disciple our kids. We can't make our faith their faith. They have to find it on their own. They have to come to their own decision to follow Jesus. But we're responsible for discipling our family, are we not? And that's exactly what Cornelius was doing. He didn't just hear about this message and say, all right, I'm going to hide out with this a little bit. I'm going to keep it from my family. They might disown me if they come to understand what I believe. No, he knew how important this message was. And see, so he not only was believing it and following himself, a devout follower, he also was discipling his family. He was discipling his family. And it said that not just with his whole household was he a devout man fearing God, but he gave alms generously. He gave alms generously. So he was a generous giver. And the Greek there would say imply that he's giving generously to the Jewish people. So he's one of these people that when he saw a need, he was making sure that he was giving money in order to meet that need. I was just by chance reading my Bible reading this morning, and I think it was Proverbs 37 that said, blessed are those, I think it's a blessing on those that give generously. That was just what the phrase said. I know I butchered it, sorry, you can look it up, Proverbs 37. But I thought about that, I was like, yeah, that's Cornelius. He's blessed, why? Because he was a generous man. And it says he prayed continually to God. He prayed continually to God. Now, if I put Cornelius up here, and I said, here's a devout man, a faithful man, loves God, and he disciples his family well, and he gives generously, and he prays continually, and I said, how many of you would size yourself up to Cornelius? How many of us could stand up and say, well, that's me too? How many of us could say, all right, Cornelius is the 10, where am I from 0 to 10 when it comes to being a devout person, discipling my family well, giving generously, and praying continuously? Acts chapter 10 starts out with the picture of this guy who's not Jewish, yet he heard the message of God, and he is a devout follower of him. So much so that he's making sure his family understands, and later I would suggest that he's letting his friends know about it as well, giving generously and praying continually. In Acts chapter 10, verse 4, it goes on to say that, I'm sorry, in Acts chapter 10, the story goes on to say that Cornelius was, he was sleeping and he had this vision come on him. And he was frightened, as most situations where we see in the Bible where an angel appears, people get frightened, right? Cornelius was frightened as well, even though he's probably a battle-worn soldier, over 100 men, he too is frightened when he sees this vision. And the Bible tells us that this vision said, Cornelius, you've been a devout man, and your prayers, in verse 4, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Your prayers have ascended as a memorial before God. As I read those verses this week and was studying those, I thought, you know, I wonder if there's some times that we wonder if God's listening to our prayers. That probably happens a lot with us, doesn't it? We're praying fervently about something and we're like, Lord, are you even listening to me? And then there's moments where we're generous. And there's moments where we hold back in not being generous. And we're wondering, is God watching? Is he paying attention to that? Well, we know from the story of Cornelius that absolutely 100% God is listening to our prayers. He hears our prayers. And he also is paying attention to us when we're generous. Now, this is not a story or a sermon about giving, but we can't ignore the fact that Cornelius was a devout man, faithful, praying continuously, and he was giving. And that was mentioned as one of those things reaching up to heaven that God would pay attention to him. When we look at Cornelius' life, we know in this story, we know that this vision came to him, said, Cornelius, this is what I want you to do. I want you to send some guys down to get this guy named Peter. He's in Joppa. He's a disciple of Jesus. I want you to hear what he has to say. And so Cornelius is going to follow this routine and say, okay, I'm going to do exactly what this angel has told me to do so that I can understand more about who this God is. as we read about Cornelius and we process about this, we got this Roman soldier, 100 men that he's in charge of. He's a faithful man, devout man. And we say, wow, this seems unusual. But is it unusual? If we go back to Matthew 8, what do we read about a Roman centurion there? We know this Roman centurion sent people to Jesus and said, he actually sent some Jewish friends to Jesus and said his servant is sick and is about to die. And this centurion is asking you to come and heal his servant. And then he sent message and said, Jesus, you don't even have to bother to come to my house. He said, I know, I'm in charge of people, I tell them what to do and they do it. You're in charge of things, you have authority. If you just say to my servant, you'll be well, you'll be well. And how did Jesus respond to that? I've never seen so much great faith in all of Israel, or greater faith have I not found in all of Israel. That was from a centurion. We know in Matthew 27, what did that centurion say? After Jesus was crucified, he looked up and what did he say? Surely this man is the Son of God. So for whatever reason, it's not necessarily unusual that these centurions are hearing about God and having some kind of faith thing happen inside them, and that's where we find Cornelius. A couple of things about Cornelius. Chapter 5, verse 16 of James says, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And Matthew 25:40 says, and the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. So what do we really discover about Cornelius? He is absolutely the picture of somebody journeying with Jesus that we should look to and say, here's another man that's not Jewish, yet he loves God, he believes in God, he's devout, he's discipling his family, he's praying continuously, and he's giving generously. That's Cornelius. And I would suggest to you in chapter 10 of Acts, there are three visions that we're going to see. And the first vision was an affirmation that Cornelius' prayers were being heard. It was an affirmation that Cornelius' prayers were being heard. Here's a man devout in his faith, praying continuously to God, saying, show me something, be with me, bless our home, watch over us, show us what you want us to do. He's giving generously to the Jewish people. He's praying continuously, and God has heard his prayers. And as God hears his prayers, he tells him, I want you to send these guys to go get Peter. He's got a message for you from me that I want him to share with you. So we go down to verses 9 through 16 of Acts chapter 10. It says this, the next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. If you remember back in Acts chapter 9, we ended that chapter with Peter going to stay with this guy named Simon who was a tanner. And he lived in a house, and back then houses had these flat tops on them. And so he went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. The sixth hour is about noon. Something I want to back up about Cornelius that I forgot to add is that he was praying in the ninth hour, which was about 3 PM, which is an indication to us that Cornelius was following Jewish practices also. When he was praying at 3 o'clock, that's a time when Jewish people would pray. At noon is a time when Jewish people would pray. So Cornelius was not just believing in God, but also following Jewish customs as well. But Peter, in verses 9 through 16, he went up on the housetop about noon. He was about to pray. And he became hungry. A lot of people get hungry at noon, right? Why would they mention that? Well, Jewish people ate two meals, basically. They'd eat a mid-morning, late morning, and then late afternoon or early evening kind of meal. And so if it's noon and he hasn't eaten yet, I imagine he's starving. He hasn't had that meal number one yet, right? We're not like the hobbits that have first breakfast and second breakfast and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, he's just looking for his first one, right? And he was hungry. And so he went up on the rooftop to pray. And while they were preparing the lunch, while they were preparing his meal for him, he fell into what the Bible says is a trance. And he saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, by no means, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice came to him again a second time, what God has made clean, do not call common. This happened 3 times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. 3 times, and then it was taken up once to heaven. There's a couple things we want to point out here when it comes to Peter and his relationship with God and just Jewish people in general. They've lived their whole lives with restrictions. If you go back through, and some of you are in your daily Bible reading plan, and you've gotten to Leviticus and Numbers, and you're reading through the God's laws, all 600 laws that are there, and there are all these restrictions put around them. These are the kind of animals you can eat. These are the kinds you can't eat. This is what you do when this person does this, and this is what you person do that, and don't do this on this day, and do. And they all came with pretty dire consequences, didn't they? I was reading in my Bible today about a guy that was out gathering food on the Sabbath. And Moses said, all right, let's go to God and see what he says. And God says, you got to take him out and stone him to death. Pretty serious consequences. Around Christmas time, we read about Zechariah and how a lot of times priests would have a rope tied around him when they went inside to the most holy place so that if they dropped dead by doing something wrong, they could pull him out by something. You remember we talked about that? And why? All these restrictions. And why were people following them? They didn't want to die. They're like, these are things that we're supposed to follow. And as a good Jewish person is trying to figure out now that Jesus has come along, okay, what does this mean for all these restrictions and laws and policies and all these things that we're supposed to be following him? There's a couple of things that quite frankly, hit a little close to home. Leviticus 11:10. But anything in the seas or the rivers that does not have fins and scales of the swarming creatures in the waters and of the living creatures that are in the waters is detestable to you. I had shrimp yesterday and broke that one, just like that. But that's one that they were a restriction they weren't supposed to have. Now there's many shrimp lovers in here, okay? Leviticus 19:19b. Nor shall you wear a garment of cloth made of two kinds of material. How many of you have a shirt on today that's part polyester, part cotton? We're all breaking that one, right? Oh, and here's one that'll get me in a lot of trouble. Leviticus 19:28. You shall not make any cuts on your body for the dead or tattoo yourselves. I am the Lord. On the count of three, everybody show your tattoo. Ready? One. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Right? So this is Peter. He's a Jewish man. In his mind are all these laws of God that he's been following, and now he's got Jesus, and he's trying to understand where does the law come into this? Because Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill the law, and there are restrictions in his life. And one of those restrictions, he's about to break. He's about to break. He's going to walk into the home of a Gentile family. That's not something he's supposed to do. That's unclean for him to do. That's what the message that's coming to him is. In Acts 10, verse 28, he said to the people when he went to with these guys, and it took him a couple of days' journey to get there, when he went to Cornelius' house, he said, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So here's what's taking place. While Cornelius had his vision, and he sent guys to act on that, go get Peter. Peter's having the same vision, getting a message. There's going to be some guys show up. You need to go with them. I'm talking to this Cornelius guy. And so they come in, and Peter's like, what do you need? We've been summoned or asked to come get you, to summon you, to come back with us to speak to Cornelius. And so they stayed a couple nights, and then they go back, and he enters into the room. And you wonder what that first step must have been like. What that first step into what could have been disobeying God's law by entering a Gentile's home that Peter took because he was confident that the message he heard was from God and that he was supposed to be on this detail of spreading the gospel to a new audience. And the second vision was for Peter, the leader of the church, to open his eyes to a broader audience. The second vision was for Peter, the leader of the church. I don't think anybody would argue that at that time, Peter would have been seen as he's the guy. When it comes to the church, he's the bold one. He's out proclaiming. He's out healing. And now he is walking into the home of a Gentile. And why? Because God has opened his eyes to a broader audience of people. A people that before, Peter thought that it was unlawful for him to even take this message to or to deal with. And God said what? Don't call anything that I've made unclean. Now, if there's a message in this whole chapter 10, that's probably the most hard-hitting for us, isn't it? You and I were created in the image of God, right? And the person sitting next to you, guess what? They were made in the image of God as well. And you know who else was? The next person walking through that door. And you know who else was? The guy that smells a lot and wears a lot of nasty clothes, and the guy that's been in and out of jail 30 times. He's made in the image of God. That person that walks in the back door that's got all kinds of mess in their life, all kinds of disastrous stuff taking place, that person was made in the image of a holy God. And who are we? Who are we to look at anyone other than an image bearer of a holy God? It's not to us to cast judgment. It's us to enter into the mess, whatever mess may be there, and do what? Share the gospel message. Peter has his eyes open to not look as Gentile people as unclean, but instead to see them as an audience to be able to receive and understand the gospel message of Jesus. And I think, and I know that I'm pretty confident that we've all been there, that we've either felt judged before, or we've absolutely judged someone else by the outer appearance, or maybe even by what they say, to say, I don't know if I want to enter that mess with the gospel. I don't know that they want to hear the gospel. I don't think that they'll want anything to do or say about this. And so we leave it alone instead of entering into that. And I think just as God gave a vision to Peter to say the audience is much broader, Peter, that he would say to the Kalkaska Church of Christ, guys, we need to open our eyes. And yeah, there's a whole bunch of mess out here. And it seems like the mess keeps getting bigger and bigger. That God is saying, don't call anything or anyone that I've created common or unclean. Instead, he would call us to look at everyone and say, that's a soul to be saved for Jesus Christ. That was the message for Peter, and I think that's the message for us as well. So, Peter was invited in, and Peter said, hey, I had this vision, and he's like, what do you want? And Cornelius said, well, I had the vision, and I was told to summon you, and so here you are, and I was told that you have a message for us. So it was almost a standoff. Peter's like, what do you want? And Cornelius is like, I don't know, you tell me what I want. And it says that Cornelius even invited family and friends over. And it says in verse 34 and 35, so Peter opened up his mouth, and he said, truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is what? Is acceptable to him. Verse 43 says, to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Peter went on to share the gospel with him. He said, all right, let me tell you about Jesus. He said, Jesus did some awesome things while he was here on earth. He ministered to us. He healed the sick. He showed compassion to people. He loved people. And then he died. They crucified him. They crucified him. But 3 days later, he was resurrected. And Peter goes on to say, and I'm here to testify that I saw him. I know that he resurrected because he came and he visited with some of us. And I'm one of those people. I'm one of those people. And then again, Peter said, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And verse 44 says, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. While he was there sharing these things, the Holy Spirit, woof, on all the people that were there. And most commentaries would point to this and say this is a second Pentecost. It's a Pentecost for who? It's for you and I, Gentiles. The Gentiles in this place had their own Pentecost. I'm saying Pentecost, not the holiday. Pentecost of what happened at Pentecost, right? Because on the day of Pentecost, what happened? The Holy Spirit descended on the place. They were speaking in different languages so that people could understand. And Peter preached this awesome, amazing message. And people said, what do we do? And he said, what? Repent and be baptized. For the forgiveness of sins, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what happens in Acts chapter 10? The Holy Spirit descends on these Gentile people. And they are believers in Jesus. And it descends on them. It falls on them. And it even says, if I'm not mistaken, that they are start speaking utterances. And speaking, we call it different languages or speaking in tongues, whatever. That's another message for another day. But anyway, these things are taking place as the Holy Spirit is falling on these people there. And we think the day of Pentecost was an amazing thing. What about the second falling of the Holy Spirit on a group of people of what happened at Cornelius' house? What an amazing thing that would have been to be a part of. Well, in Acts 10:47, after the Holy Spirit falls on them, Peter said in verse 47, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? I would say that Peter is looking at his Jewish friends that are there with him, and he's looking at them saying, is there any reason that we shouldn't baptize them? Do you guys see what I'm seeing? Do you understand what I'm seeing as well? That we're here, we shared the gospel, the Holy Spirit came on them, we know the Holy Spirit's on them, we're seeing the fruit of what happens when the Holy Spirit comes on them. Is there any reason that we shouldn't baptize them? Doing what? Romans 6, uniting them with Jesus in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection. And so just like that, they get up and they baptize the people that are there in Cornelius' home. The third vision I would say is this. It's God's vision for all to come to know him. The third vision that we see in this, we have the vision that Cornelius had of, hey, go get Peter. He's got a message for you. We have the vision that Peter sees saying, hey, don't call anything that I've created unclean or common, and go with these people and share the gospel. And he goes and he shares it. But the third vision I would say, and this is the one that makes this the most important chapter for you and I at Kalkaska Church of Christ in 2022, is that this message is for everyone, not just for Jewish people. The eyes of the world were now going to get to be open to the gospel message. And what does this do? Genesis chapter 26. There was a calling of this guy named Abram. In this calling of this guy named Abram, God said, I'm going to make you a great nation. You're going to have more descendants than you can even count. And in verse 4 of that chapter, the last part of it, it says, and in your offspring all nations of the world shall be blessed. All nations of the world shall be blessed. Meaning what? God is just continuing to come through with this promise for Abraham. I'm going to make you a great nation, and through you all nations will be blessed. And Jesus, of course, comes from the line of Abraham. And through Jesus, we absolutely are blessed. 1 Timothy 2, 1-4 says, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. For kings, for all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires what? All people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. To come to the truth. In Acts chapter 10, we have these three amazing visions. One is Cornelius, a Roman soldier, who was part of an organization that was oppressing Jewish people. And his vision is, your prayers, your offerings, they have ascended to heaven. God is hearing what you have to say, and he's seeing you. And because of that, the gospel message is going to come to you. Go get Peter. And he goes to get him, and Peter's having his vision. This message is going to be for much greater than just the Jewish people, Peter. This message is going to be for the whole world to receive and to understand, and to have the opportunity to come and surrender to Jesus. Just as God's vision was from the very beginning. The message that all nations would be blessed. So the last thing I want to share with you is this. Even though the message has been open to a broader audience, what has not changed? The message itself. The message itself. We live in a society today that wants to change the message. There are restrictions that the Old Testament law gave around people, and Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish, I came to fulfill the law. And Jesus said, go and make disciples, teaching them to what? Obey everything I've commanded. So there's still this whole thing to deal with about what the Bible says, about what it means to live a life to honor and glorify Jesus. And call it restrictions, call it guidelines, call it I'm just doing it because I love Jesus. You and I have to face the fact that there are some things that God loves and some things that God hates. And that message has not changed. The redrawn lines changed who could receive the message, not the message itself. The message is still the gospel. So that when you see somebody that has all kinds of mess in your life, yes, our heart needs to change and say, I need to enter into that, because that was a person created in God's image who gets to receive the message of the gospel, absolutely. But the message of the gospel is not, here's all the things that you're welcome to do and whatever. This is what it means to follow Jesus. And here's the end result, eternity with him in heaven. And this is what it means to be one of his children. And I think it's important for us, especially in our society today, once again, to say that even though the lines have been redrawn of who gets to receive the gospel, which is everyone, the gospel message is still the same. We are sinners, condemned to die because of our sin. But God in His great love for us sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. And everyone who believes in His name, everyone who calls on His name, will be saved. We must just believe. What does believing look like? It means confessing that we're a sinner in need of a Savior, repenting and not following ourselves as Lord and surrendering to Jesus as Lord and uniting with Him in holy Christian baptism, being immersed all the way under, uniting with Jesus in His death, burial, and resurrection, raised to walk in a new life. That's the message that He's called us to take to a lost and dying world. And the message is for everyone. Acts 10:43, to Him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sin through His name. Amen and amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the salvation that we have through Jesus. Lord, thank You for loving us enough that You would want to spend eternity with us, even though we're sinners, even though we struggle. And Father, my prayer today is that You would help us to open our eyes and see those around us, that as messy as they may be, as difficult as some people may be for us, maybe our personalities don't clash or whatever the case may be, Lord, may You open our eyes to see that everyone around us is created in Your image and needs to hear the gospel. And needs to hear the gospel. Father, open our mouths to have the right words to say, just like You did with Peter. And let us see the fruit of that labor as we share the gospel with those around us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.